Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, America's right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Right-wing? Religious fanatic? Yeah, that's what I've been called, and so maybe I'll take it as a badge of honor. I've read somewhere, where did I read this? That if you throw a glass of water on a liberal in the middle of a sound sleep, he'd jerk awake, denouncing the religious right. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Where did I read? Maybe Ann Coulter would know where that quote comes from. Ann, could you help me identify that?
That's a great point. I think it's from the excellent new book, Slander.
Yeah. And Ann, thank you for joining us here on Bob Enyart Live.
Anytime.
Your book is really causing quite a stir, and so we're thrilled that you could come on Slander, Liberal Lies About the American Right. Is it a bestseller yet?
It was the number one nonfiction seller for Barnes & Noble and the number one book on Amazon last week. But the gold standard of book reviews we won't know about yet until tomorrow. Of course, I only had a partial week last week. It was released on Tuesday.
Yeah, but you're doing so well. And so we'll be looking at the New York Times list. And I appreciate you not shunning the term in the subtitle of the book, the term right. You know, we are the right wing, but a lot of conservatives are afraid of that term.
Yes. I don't get really wrapped up in terminology, though I must say we do not fear the term right as much as liberals fear the term liberal.
Yeah.
As I describe in my book, the surest sign you know you're dealing with a liberal is the querulous indignation and quizzical expression. What do you mean, liberal? What does that mean?
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, we are the right because we're right.
That's right.
I pointed out to I was in a small meeting of conservatives in Chicago, about 1,000 of us a couple years ago, and there was a guy there from China, and I pointed out to him that in many languages, the term for right, which means correct, also means right, which means right hand and right wing. And so he got out a piece of paper and he started scribbling these pictographs, and he said, you know, that's true. I never realized that even though he's a right wing conservative, he said, even in Chinese, the same term for correct is the term for right.
Yeah, and left is sinister.
Yeah, left is sinister, like in French. And you go back to the time of Solomon in the Bible, and we read that a good man's heart is on his right, and the fool's heart is on his left. So these are ancient concepts, I think.
Yes, and finally bringing it full circle.
Yeah, now my brother called from South Carolina to say that he saw you on the Today Show, and that you just annihilated the opposition.
Thank you.
I didn't get to see that. But
I think they have streaming video on MSNBC.
They do.
The MSNBC website. Yeah, because I haven't seen it myself, though I was there.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen it. But as far as I can tell, you and I may be the only people in the world who have not seen it.
To have not seen it.
if not live on the Today Show, then on the MSNBC.com streaming video. It's really stunning to me how many people have seen that now. And by the way, it does... I mean, it shows how important the major media are. I mean, I'm thankful I was interviewed on the Today Show. If we did nothing but, you know, flash a picture of my book, it would have been tremendous for me, which is why it's striking, as I describe in my book on the publishing industry and how conservative books seem to do quite well, despite the major media blackout, the typical blackout. I mean, it's very rare for a conservative author to be interviewed on the Today Show.
Right, good point. And I am not only the religious right, but Christian right. I happen to pass. I'm a talk show host, and we air in a few cities around the country, but I pastor Denver Bible Church. And one of the things I notice is that so often, just summarily, religious books are just dismissed. They're not considered.
Religious bookstores are not included in the New York Times bestseller list, nor are book clubs. There are all these ways majority culture, rather minority culture, but those who control these nerve centers, the publishing industry, the television industry, think of schools, public schools, colleges, have of suppressing conservative thought. It's as if they fear an articulate statement of a conservative position will put a hex on them. They can't allow it to escape into the world. That is, of course, part of their idea of demeaning us as stupid, racist, sexist, homophobic, blah, blah, blah. They just don't want the American people to hear it. But as I describe in the Samizdat media chapter, that was the underground press in the Soviet Union, in all of the media where there is free competition, where there's a free market, conservatives dominate, including in book sales, talk radio, and the Internet. Those are the three big ones. It's stunning that when Americans are given a choice, they want to hear conservatives. But meanwhile, ABC, NBC, CBS, Newsweek, Time, Washington Post, New York Times are jamming liberalism down our throats morning, noon, and night.
Right. And when conservatives get into a mainstream forum, for example, you were on the very last episode of Politically Incorrect, and I've been on that show maybe four or five times. You've been on it quite...
I'm their most frequent guest.
Most frequent guest, that's right. And on that show, it's sort of even odds because it's one conservative against four liberals.
That is true, but in their defense... The setup for the show, and I hope this is not entirely past tense and they get picked up either by HBO or Comedy Central or something, because I'm going to miss it. It has been a great forum for conservatives. I mean, he has more conservatives on than Leno, Conan, or Letterman ever will.
Yeah, right.
But the setup, the idea of the show is they have one actor, one comedian, one, you know, sort of Hollywood elite type. And as, you know, they always say to me, those people are liberals. That's why the only ideological seat on that stage is for conservatives.
Right.
And, you know, they used to say, if we could have Charlton Heston on every night, we'd love it.
Right, right.
But we can't.
I actually think it evens out the odds because it's so easy to win the argument when you're right. So at least it makes it a bit of a challenge when you've got four people to oppose.
That's right. That's right. No, and moreover, as I describe, the point of my book is that it is, at least one large theme of it, is that it's impossible to argue with liberals anymore, because instead of engaging ideas, what they do is retreat from the argument, calling their opponents stupid or crazy, as if to warn the American people, don't listen to what this person has to say. Don't listen to this person. This person is, you know, racist, sexist, wants to bring back slavery, as Gore basically taunted George Bush with during the presidential campaign, suggesting that appointing strict constructionists to the court was somehow some sneaky legal doctrine that would bring back slavery. Liberals argue at the level of a six-year-old. They call everything stupid. It's kind of cute in a six-year-old. Oh, that's stupid. That's stupid.
Yeah,
this is literally how half of the political debate goes on in this country today.
Right, and a racist is anyone winning an argument with a liberal. You're automatically a racist. And my wife, Cheryl, is reading Slander right now.
Excellent.
By the time we get done, you'll know my whole family.
Excellent.
And she's enjoying...
Wait, you're not passing that book around. It's not that much. You could buy a copy for every member of your family.
That's right. We have seven boys, and I'm sure they'd enjoy it.
Well, you could put me on the New York Times bestseller list.
That's right.
Buy one for every one of them.
I'm saving it for this 4th of July weekend. We're going to a cabin in the Rocky Mountains. But our audience here on this show... They pretty much know that, you know, if Dan Rather says something, it's suspect. So we read your book, not to find out, but for vindication and for enjoyment, actually.
Au contraire.
Okay, come on
for precisely
now.
That reason, I don't discuss Dan Rather very much. This is not a book of shooting fish in a barrel or throwing red meat to people who already agree.
Right.
If you can read my book and tell me you were not shocked or didn't learn something new, I will not require you to buy a copy for each one of your sons.
All right. Well, then
I think that is absolutely not true.
Well, then
it's
I'm really looking.
It's not about liberal bias in the media. It's about liberals. And in fact, that's what makes it somewhat difficult to talk about on radio and TV, because there are so many new paradigms and new ideas that, you know, if I could have expressed it in a soundbite, I wouldn't have needed to write a book.
All right. Well, great point. And so that's even a better promo for the book. Hey, Anne, you were on Politically Incorrect, I think, a few months ago, and the topic was 9-1-1. And reportedly, you said something I'd like to ask you about. Other than, if this quote is true, other than on this program, you're the only other person to have said this. It was about where George Bush was physically during the time that the planes flew into the World Trade
Center. Oh, yes. I know what quote you're talking
Can
about.
You I'm pretty thrilled you said it. Can you repeat the quote?
Well, I don't remember it exactly. I remember what my point was, which was – let history recall that when America came under the greatest terrorist attack in its history, mm-hmm. the president was sitting in a grade school reading to small children. Who was that to appeal to? Was that to appeal to John Wayne out there? I don't think so. That was because of right. of the soccer moms. The president, the commander-in-chief, was reading school books
right.
to
We're
going to
take a
children.
Break, Ann, and then I want to talk about that when we get back. Hey, Bob Benyard here, and of course, we got an interview going on with Ann Coulter and her new book, Slander, Liberal Lies About the American Right. You're going to want to pick it up and enjoy that book. But we've been in the middle of an experiment here doing live commercial breaks, and it's been fun. I want to tell you real quickly about our latest video called Live from Las Vegas, filmed on the convention floor at the NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, a couple months ago. A never-ending stream of liberal takers came up and took the hot seat to try to win a $100 bill in a three-minute debate. And if they won the debate, then they got the $100. But the odds are with the House, and we were the House, and the liberals lost. But it's a fun video. Call us 1-888-8-NYART and order Live from Las Vegas, the video. We're back. Bob Benyard Live. We're not taking any calls this half hour of the show. You can call up right after the news at the bottom of the hour. And the reason I loved that quote of yours was because it's such an attack at a foundational level against liberals, because if the government does everything, then it's not going to do anything well.
That's right. Maybe the first lady ought to be the one reading the books. The commander-in-chief was elected to be commander-in-chief, and I think it's kind of a busy job.
Yeah, if the government, and not only the president, he's the head of, like, the corporation, which is the government. And if a successful corporation decides to do everything, like education, healthcare, agriculture, oh, yeah, let's do defense also, and commerce and labor and energy, and, oh, yeah, let's do criminal justice, they're going to fail on everything.
Right.
And what an illustration to have Bush in a third-grade classroom. It's really, it was brilliant, and I appreciate your courage to say that.
Thank you.
Well, let me ask you then.
That's the beginning.
So in your book, Slander, Liberal Lies About the American Right, you point out that this is a tactic for them, that slander is actually their political modus operandi.
Right, and the lies are just overwhelming. I mean, people think that they can filter out the propaganda, but you can't. You can't. I mean, it's impossible. Every conservative public figure would need a full-time investigative and legal staff to defend himself. You end up, you know, conceding half their lies just to focus on the lies of Holocaust denial proportions.
Yeah, right.
The attacks on the religious right, I think, are some of the most stunning. I was going to mention to you, you are part of 14% of America who enjoys annoying liberals by announcing that he is a member of the religious right. I knew I was going to have 5 or 10 pages on the religious right because that is a turn of phrase that drives liberals bananas. They mm-hmm. react like, you know, Linda Blair in The Exorcist. But I just thought, you know, we'd have a few laughs. I'd go through a few of these points. As I began looking at every mention of the religious right in the mainstream media, it became more and more fascinating a subject, and I mean that in the clinical sense. And I ended up with an entire chapter on the religious right. I mean, ultimately, for one thing, what the religious right is, it's like trying to nail Jell-O to a wall. It either comes down to one man, Pat Robertson, right. or it's half of America, or it's, you know, anyone who wants his taxes cut and believes in a being even higher than the New York Times.
Right.
And the way, I mean, it is just Orwellian. If you're not familiar with Orwell's 1984, you will be by the end of my book. Mm-hmm. That book, as well as a book by a French philosopher, Jacques Ellul, on propaganda, I use throughout my book. And the Orwellian nature of the way the religious right, the phrase, the religious right, is used, it is a totemic symbol meant to frighten people as they simultaneously reflexively laugh at the religious right, mm-hmm. and it will be turned as Jacques Ellul says in propaganda, like the torch, the flame of a blowtorch, and directed at different individuals. I described how it was used against John Ashcroft. I mean, it really is stunning, the completely insane things that are said about this organization that right. does not strictly speaking, in the technical sense, exist.
And one of the things that liberals don't get away with on this show, we take them to task, they'll make the statement during their argument, they'll say, well, you have the right to your opinion. And you point out on page 169, I'm sure it's just one instance of 10,000 we could cite, of a San Francisco liberal columnist, a San Francisco Chronicle columnist, who writes, these folks certainly have a right to their beliefs.
Oh, yeah, you get that all the time from liberals. They think
Always.
Speech is a counterintuitive concept. It's something that they, as liberals, you know, in their magnanimously bestow on the rest of us. I mean, you can't imagine a conservative saying about the most hated liberal, somebody like Dan Rather. Well, in his private time, he has a right to his beliefs.
It wouldn't occur to me to say you have a right to your opinion. That would never occur.
Right. Whenever someone needs to say something like that, and by the way, as I go on to cite him, you know, his very next sentence is, but what can we do to stop this dedicated minority?
Yeah, right.
And by the way, I cited him, his description of the religious right, because it was about as scientific a definition as I got out of the media.
Madge.
The Washington Post and the New York Times describe it as a bunch of poor, easily led, uneducated corn bones. He just creates a fictional character, Maud, and in the classic liberal elitist sneering, she doesn't surf the internet, she doesn't sample restaurants, so she has time to go to the Grange and pray for Pap Buchanan. This is how liberals think of people who believe in God.
And like the Washington Times describing us, and I recall this, we were on the air at the time.
The Washington Post,
as a weak religious right are largely poor, uneducated, and easy to command.
Right. The New York Times had almost the same phraseology, citing a professor as its authority.
Right.
The Washington Post was bombarded with letters and issued a correction the next day saying they had no support for that, or at least a few days later. I don't know if it was the next day.
And
the New York Times never did issue a correction.
Hmm. Liberals, they always remind us we have the right to our own opinion. But I got to debate the executive director of the Colorado ACLU on our local public TV station. You know, public TV, they're very fair and even-handed. And pointed out on that show that the official policy of the ACLU is that they defend the right to own child pornography, to distribute it, to profit from selling videos of a child being raped. They defend the right to do that. And the executive director, Jim Joy, he admitted that. And what's going on with the liberals is while they feel like they're giving us some kind of blessing in that saying we have the right to our opinion, they don't really understand free speech, that it stops at the beginning of the commission of a crime.
Oh, they don't believe in free speech for conservatives. You're taking you're taking this a little too far.
Yeah, right.
It is whenever they believe in free speech, as long as it's obscene or treasonous. But as soon as the conservative opens his yap, oh, well, that raises troubling issues for the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm.
The most striking example of that is, as I say, conservatives absolutely dominate the Internet on every possible way that can be determined. And thankfully, the Internet can actually rank number of unique hits.
Right,
most
like
popular sites are all these conservative sites. And consequently, liberals are quite enthusiastic about coming up with some method of censoring the Internet. A University of Chicago law professor, liberal in good standing, Cass Sunstein, wrote a book called Republic.com, favorably reviewed in the New York Times, that, oh, we've got to do something about the Internet. It's allowing conservatives to talk to one another. They can communicate with one another. And, of course, perhaps most famously, Hillary Clinton, 2 weeks after Matt Drudge broke the Monica Lewinsky story that was being suppressed by Newsweek at the time,
mm-hmm.
Hillary Clinton gave a speech in which she said that perhaps we needed some sort of gatekeeping function for the Internet.
Yeah, right.
Free speech or her electoral viability.
Right. So. The ACLU, which is the group to defend free speech, supposedly. Now, I read a book years ago called Trial and Error about the ACLU, and the author said that the founder, whose name I think was Roger Baldwin of the ACLU, that he was a real fan of the Soviet Union, traveled to Moscow frequently, and actually defended their they completely banned free speech, and he defended them, saying that what they were trying to accomplish was such a worthwhile goal that he could see paying that price.
Well, that's the price liberals are willing to pay here in America.
Mm-hmm. All right, so slander by Ann Coulter, liberal lies about the American right. And do you think when conservatives have a big hit and we expose the liberals for what they're really like, what they're really doing, it seems to me, I've been in talk shows for 10 years, nothing really changes in the long run.
What do you mean nothing changes?
Well, you will expose the New York Times for, and I've read some of your material already, how despicable they are. But they're not going to change. No one can hold the feet of the media to the fire.
No, I think you're wrong about that. I think books and ideas do have consequences. And
well, yeah.
I wrote this book in order to change the world. It would be nice if I could get liberals to read it and stop being so hateful and intolerant of views that differ from theirs. But yeah, okay, maybe liberals won't read it, though I think I attack enough of them that they'll want to at least check out the index to see where they're mentioned.
Right.
But it does make a difference. It would be quite enough if enough Americans would read this that they would hoot with laughter the next time they hear that, you know, the next Republican presidential candidate is stupid, and that's why they have to vote against him. He's stupid.
I just read, I think it was in the Washington Times, a California Democrat representative saying that George W. Bush had an IQ of 88.
Yes, that's right. A Democratic representative did do that.
Yeah.
Much like Vanity Fair was writing during the election, purporting to have proved Bush dyslexic, which, by the way, his dyslexia was supposed to explain his Christian faith, because it meant he needed, I forget how she put it, rules and regulations or something like this. They think, Christianity is some sort of mental disease.
Yeah, a crutch. And you have a funny quote in here about Bush. The liberals said that if he had applied to Yale a few years earlier, he wouldn't have gotten in. And you point out that they fantasize about a parallel universe in which Bush had never graduated from Yale.
Oh, yes. It so enrages them that he went to an elite Ivy League school like Yale. They can't help but to publicly fantasize about a world in which he's rejected. It just drives them crazy that he went to Yale. I mean, the comparison of intelligence, not only the evidence of the intelligence, the cold, hard facts of various Democrats versus various Republicans, especially Bush and Gore, versus the way the two of them were written about, the way they were interviewed after one debate, both Bush and Gore were grilled on a slight misstatement of Bush's. But meanwhile, Gore's claim that he had invented the Internet, been the inspiration for Love Story, found Love Canal, that was never mentioned on Good Morning America. It was never mentioned on the Today Show. The only reason things like Gore's claim that he had invented the Internet came out was that it was so preposterous that it tended to capture the imaginations of disc jockeys and talk radio hosts.
Ann Coulter, we're almost out of time. Let me ask you a last question. And this may be, I'll just ask it. It's easy to tear apart the liberal media, but I want to ask you a question about the conservative.
Fortunately, that's not what my book is about.
No, well, yeah, I'm not trying to put your book down. From what I've read, it's a blast. It's
no,
a lot
I just
of fun.
Don't like it being characterized that way, and that does seem to be a myth developing around my book.
All right, how would you more succinctly characterize
it? It's about liberals. It's a book about liberals. All their, to quote my favorite movie, Dr. Strangelove, all their dirty commie rat tricks.
Okay. All right, well then, I think we're not going to have time to get to that. I wanted to ask you about the conservative media, and so I think that if we take a hard look at our own media, we tend to gloss over a lot of the truth, a lot of the negative things about our own heroes.
No, I do not think that's true. It's impossible, not with the dominant culture. How could anyone not know that Bush is accused of being stupid?
Well, let me give you an
example. We're a small insurgent force.
Well, let me give you an example, like George W. Bush appointing pro-abortion judges on the Texas Supreme Court.
Yeah, something that has been explored in depth by the newspaper I write for, Human Events.
Yeah, but the conservatives generally, they don't even know he did that. We're going to be right back. Thank you, Ann.
Thank you.
Bob and Yurt Live. Hey, it's a live commercial break, and our phone number is 1-800-8-NYART. In those few seconds of the bumper for the commercial, I said goodbye and thank you to Ann Coulter. That was a lot of fun. If you'd like to call in on the show to talk about her, the book, the issue, then feel free. The number is 1-800-8-NYART. If you'd like to find out more about Bob and Yurt Live, You want to find out more about Bob and Yurt Live? Well, one of the things you can do is go to shadowgov.com. In fact, you're listening on kgov.com. And if you look on the right, there's a bar of links, and you can go to shadowgov.com and find out, well, we've got a write-up there, a succinct write-up about the terrorist attack of September 11th and why it happened, how easily it could have been prevented, how very easily it could have been prevented, and what America does to provoke those who hate us already to hate us even all the more unnecessarily. So a lot of fun, shadowgov.com. And then somewhere on that page is a link. And the link, I don't think it's exactly hidden, but it's not high profile. And it's a link of, well, it gets to the nature of government and the form of government. What is the best form of government? And so you go to shadowgov.com. And that's why, you know, the name of the website, it's sort of fun. Shadow. The liberals are talking about, oh, there's a shadow government running the country. And so we got the website, shadowgov.com. We've actually had it for a few years before they got all upset that the shadow government was back in operation. But it's on that website that we have our material, the fundamental issues on government. How should government function? How should government function? And we, you know, I sort of hesitate to talk about those issues on the show because they're so radical as compared to common day conservative thought. So very radical. Conservatives, I think, in a lot of ways, have been won over to liberal ideas in a lot of ways. And so as we question some of those, and we tend to be most supportive of the things that we believe that are wrong. So to the extent conservatives hold liberal ideas, those are the ones that are most passionate. That's why we hide it on ShadowGov. Hey, Bob Enyart, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. Now, I want to ask you the question I had just put to Ann Coulter, and we ran out of time. But she was saying, that Ann and I, she's hardcore right-wing conservative, that's for sure. I don't know a lot about her, but she's really fun to listen to. And I remember she wrote in her column, In fact, the National Review dropped her column because what she wrote when she and it was great. She said, "We know who the homicidal maniacs are." This is after the terrorist attack. "They are the ones cheering and dancing right now. We should invade their countries, kill their leaders, and convert them to Christianity." Now, that's quite a quote. That's quite a quote. And the editor at National Review, who then fired her or dropped her column, she wrote back and called him a girly boy, which is really pretty funny. I got a kick out of that. But our number here, 1-800-8-ENYART, 1-800-836-9278. I wish we hadn't run out of time because I'd like to press that point, you know, by saying to Ann that whatever we expose of the liberals, the left, for the most part, things will stay the same. And she said, no, I like to think that people will read this and the media will change. And I'm not by any stretch a defeatist. I fight liberalism, atheism, homosexuality, the abortionist, socialist, the communist, the evolutionist. I fight them with every fiber of my being. And I ask God in the morning to help me to thwart the enemy today. Help me to defeat those who would mock God in the marketplace of ideas, in my personal relationships, in my own life. Help me not to give in to them and their temptations and their just the destructive lifestyle that they promote. So I'm all for the battle. you know, let's take on the enemy. But I try to temper that with realism. And when in history have the righteous prevailed for any significant length of time? Now, when did that happen? I don't seem to recall a time when it was all that significant. You read the history of the Bible, and that covers a long period of human history. The Bible history covers more time than we've had since the Bible was closed. Now, I know if the Mormons are listening to them, that means, oh, since last Thursday? But since the Bible was closed over 1,900 years ago, well, the Bible had covered about 4,000 years of human history. And you read through it, just read through it in a sitting. Try to get an overview. Some guy called in today, said he read the plot in the last 2 days. Did he say he liked it or disliked it? Liked it a lot. Thumbs up. So he and I are going to spend a half hour. I'm putting that on my calendar this next week to get feedback. I like to get feedback from people who read through it because it's not published yet. And we've sold a few thousand copies, but we're constantly making it better and better until it gets published. And then the finalized version 1.0 will be out the door. But get an overview of the whole Bible and find out, are people mostly good or mostly evil? And that's what defines conservatives. We conservatives are defined in part by our belief that men are sinners. You know, liberals don't believe that. That's the big lie, that men are basically good, that men don't need God, that men inherently are good, and we could build our own paradise, our utopia. And that's what liberals are on a quest to build, a utopia apart from God. Utopia. What does that word mean, utopia? Well, it sort of means paradise, but where does it come from? Let's see, topo. Topo, that's topology. That root means a place. Utopia means it's a paradise, but like topology, a topographical map, that means place. And the prefix u means it nullifies it. It negates it. No place. That's what utopia means. Utopia means no place, in that it's impossible. You can't have a utopia on earth. You can't have a paradise because men are mostly sinners. Well, and that's true through the history of the world. When Jesus Christ was here, and he was even more persuasive than me or Ann Coulter. He was more right than we are. He was more believable. He had more moral force to his words. Yet the hatred, the widespread hatred of what was right and true, was at its peak, where the people would shout, "Crucify him, crucify him," and beg for the release of a murderer. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? To our times? It sounds familiar. So when I ask Ann Coulter, do you think things will change? You think the New York Times will become good? Do you think ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, Fox News, do you think any of them will become good, will promote the truth and morality and godliness? You know, people think Fox News is conservative, and that's just inane. Fox, until September 11th, let me tell you what Fox was until September 10th. They did everything they could to put scantily clad women in every single news story they covered. That's what Fox was. And the owner of Fox is one of the biggest, you know, broadcast perverts in the world. So that's what Fox News was, and they're not liberal. I mean, they're not conservative. So I ask Ann Coulter, we could expose them, but oh yeah, we could win the battle. We can't win the battle. Not until Jesus Christ returns. Because people hate the truth. They hate what's good and right. That's why so many millions approved of Bill Clinton. Oh, maybe not, you know, at least his job description, his job approval rating was always high. Even in the impeachment, it was high. his job approval. That's because as a lying fornicator, he made other lying fornicators feel good about themselves. And so he had such high ratings. Let's go to the phones. Our number 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, do you think Ann Coulter, you called up to talk about school vouchers.
Right, and she's for that.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Right.
Would she be for it? And she is. But here's the example of where conservatives, really, and the conservative media doesn't stand on principle. Because if it's wrong to take money from your neighbor for social programs, then why should conservatives support the social programs and the higher taxes as long as it means we get to spend the money?
That's stupid.
Right.
It's Robin Hood, you know, robbing from the rich and giving it to the poor.
Right. So I'm going to take money from my neighbor by force, by threat of a gun in a jail cell. Because when it comes down to it, that's what taxes are. If you don't pay your taxes, they're going to put you in jail.
Yeah, you're right about that. Hey, Bob, and if they do approve of vouchers and that passes through Congress, can you imagine how many bureaucrats it would take to administer the program?
Oh, right. So
it would be legions.
Yeah, and the government always gets its cut.
That's right.
They always get their cut.
Hey, and in a Christian school, can you imagine that once they start taking vouchers, guess what they won't be able to do?
They won't be able to discriminate against homosexuals.
Right.
Against on and on and on.
They won't be able to pray.
Well, but you know what? That's a concern that may happen, but it might not for 100 years. But that is something that money usually comes with strings attached.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, veterans have been able to use government money for college education for decades now. And they've used that at Christian schools and conservative schools. But, hey, there are a lot of regulations that those schools have been put under.
Right.
So, yeah, you're making a good point. But even if that were not true, it's still stealing. God said, thou shalt not steal except for a voucher program.
Right.
Right. So Ann Coulter, being as sharp as she is, Dean, why doesn't she figure this out?
Well, it's because conservatives have their pet programs, or these so-called conservatives have their pet programs, and their pet programs, it creates a government monstrosity just like the so-called liberals have.
We got to go in 30 seconds to a break, but Dean, real quick, the question I asked Ann Coulter, Bush filled the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges, and the vast majority of conservative pro-life Christians do not know that.
Right. He's a sleaze and a rat. He's not as big a rat as Al Gore, but he's still a...
Well, now that was a bigger answer than I wanted, but my point was the conservative media, they tell their lies too. Hey, Bob Enyart here, live commercial break. And we had a guy call from Santa Barbara, California today. Neat guy. I was so glad I was here in the office to speak to him. And he said, I want to order 3 tapes. I said, go ahead. His name is Francis. Go ahead, Francis. What are they? And he said, it's in the Genesis album, The Fall, tape number 6. I said, oh, just one tape in the album. He said, yeah, I have the album. I want tape 6. And in the Exodus Story album, I want tape 5. And that's the tape that one of the Columbine dads came on and did the study with me. And he said, I want the sermon from 2001, February, called Housework. And I said, okay, 3 tapes. He said, no, 30 tapes. I want 10 of each. So, wow, that's pretty cool, Francis. And he said, I've got these albums, Genesis The Fall, which he just loves, and the Exodus Story, the story, not the whole book of Exodus, but Exodus Story. Then we have another album called Exodus Code, the law that God gave to the Jews after they part the Red Sea and get out of Egypt. But he said, those tapes, those albums are so much fun, and these tapes sort of sum up some of the best teachings of the hundreds of tapes I've heard from Bob Benyart Live and hundreds of shows, and I want 10 of each, 30 tapes, to hand out, like greeting cards. That's from Santa Barbara, California. Hey, you want to talk about a paradise on earth, a utopia? Go to Santa Barbara. It's just a gorgeous retreat, a getaway. Really, really neat. So anyway, you can find out why Francis called in to say that Genesis the Fall album was so much fun and the Exodus story. And in fact, you could get our best sermons of 2001. Each year we put out our best sermons, an album, an audio album, and also we're about to offer it on CD-ROM with MP3s, the 12 best sermons of the year 2001 on CD-ROM, and the 12 best sermons of the year for 2000 from Denver Bible Church. In fact, if people want to order those, they'll be back ordered for a short time, but we're working on them. I think you could order those if you want. You call 1-888-8-NYART. one 800 8 NYART 1-800-836-9278. Now, Anne, I'm sure it wasn't me. I found it interesting, her defense of her book. And she was real quick to defend the book, and I didn't realize I was attacking it. I found that interesting. Let's go back to Indiana. Our number, 1-800-8-NYART. Jeff, speak your mind.
Hi, Bob. How you doing?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to let you know that just started listening to you again here in about the last couple months, and
all right,
had seen you on TV before, and have appreciated you, especially real recently, have been able to understand you a little better than before, and maybe notice a little bit of a difference of being a little more
slow to wrath.
Yeah, well, that might be one way of putting it. Not that I necessarily had a huge problem with it before, because
yeah,
we pretty much see eye to eye theologically. But
well, Jeff, I'm getting a bit older. You know, I'm 43 now. In fact, tonight is my anniversary.
Tonight is?
Yep. After the show, I'm looking forward to taking my wife on a date. We might be going to the front porch. I'm not sure.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
But I feel it's important. I'm not the best at articulating my point, but I feel it's important that even those that believe like one another, and I'm not saying that you wouldn't believe what mm-hmm. I'm about to say,
right,
but that we'd be willing to point out where we think, you know, we may fail and be able to better, maybe be able to sharpen our sword a little bit better.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit on thin ice here, because I don't recall, I was listening to the program tonight, and I heard a reference to the politically incorrect, which
right.
when we listen to Bill Maher, or the few times we have, it's almost too hard to listen to, because he's just so caustic. I think he really tries to be that way.
Well, of course,
he probably naturally is.
Yeah, and we don't watch that show, and we don't urge people to watch it.
Right, and that wasn't my point. My point was that we were a little bit, and I wasn't aware that you were on there more than once,
mm-hmm.
but and I realized that the deck is stacked against you.
Yeah,
but you know, we were kind of disappointed. We thought you, maybe you weren't on your best that night.
Yeah,
that
Jeff, go ahead and spit it out. I can take it. Don't worry. Which show? I wonder which it was. Do you remember what the topic was?
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask my wife when she gets home tonight, because it's been probably a year and a half to 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
Maybe even 2.5 years ago, that even if you were on that long ago. But, you know, in my mind, and again, that's been a few years ago, and it seems like to some degree you're even better than you were then about articulating your position. I mean, you're extremely knowledgeable even before, but
well, Jeff, and I understand it. When, you know, it was interesting going on that program, the feedback we'd get really ran the gamut of people who absolutely loved it and people who utterly hated it. Mm-hmm. And it was a complete gamut. Mm-hmm. And there are people, you know, I've just talked to people in the last week who found out about Bobignart Live because of Politically Incorrect and mm-hmm. some other just the mainstream show I've done. I've probably done about 20 or 30 different of these programs. And it's, you know it's rough. It's like going into the lion's den, mm-hmm. and you very well may get beat up, and there's no doing it twice. Mm-hmm. It's one time, and it's over. But there are people out there who are desperately looking for the truth, mm-hmm. and there may be a small minority. So conservatives, you know, conservatives debate going on that show because of how filthy Bill Maher is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went on their one program to debate Larry Flint, who's the pornographer.
Mm-hmm.
And that we just, you know, we just were thrilled with that show
mm-hmm.
because of the ability to just tear him apart mm-hmm. and point out how Bill Maher and Larry Flint, they just use women. And they despise women. They treat them like animals, like filth in the gutter.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, they can fight back and say whatever they're going to say. But we take our shots. They take theirs. And what we hope is that we reach a handful of people in the audience.
Sure. Amen. Amen.
That's the goal. But, it doesn't always go well, but it's fun.
Well, you know, I don't envy anybody going on there. And I knew how knowledgeable and articulate you could be. But on the other hand, I don't want to discourage you because I realize, you know, it must be an awful tough arena.
Well,
even maybe more so than even going out anywhere else. I mean,
mm-hmm.
but in my mind, I know me and my wife said, man, we wish, and I don't know if you're familiar with him, Hank Hanegraaff, who I found to be one of the most articulate
mm-hmm.
Christian, men around today,
mm-hmm.
and yet still, you know, awfully conservative. I'm not sure if you're familiar with who he is.
Well, I've certainly heard of him, but I haven't read his book or really heard his show, but I've heard of him, sure.
Yeah, he's done some fantastic stuff. But
there's a lot of conservative Christians who won't go on a show like Politically Incorrect because of how vulgar it is. And I completely respect that judgment call. I was on a program on Fox News called The Full Nelson, and walked off. It was a one-hour show, and I was the only conservative. It was four liberals against one conservative, and I walked out in the first segment because of how vulgar it got.
Oh, my.
And they were literally desperate, begging me during the commercial break to come back on the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because now they got four of them. What are they going to talk about? And so anyway,
Did you go back on?
No, I didn't go back on. I left. But, you know, it was vulgar. And Bill Maher is always vulgar, but there seems to be a line beyond which you can't be there, even supporting it with your presence beyond a certain line.
Did you have the opportunity to talk to him off the air?
Oh, yeah, Bill Maher, each time.
Is he a little more toned down or?
Well, yeah, he wants to be at least polite because he wants the conservatives to come back on the show.
Right.
But I said to him on the air, I said, Bill, you think the most significant relationship you can have with a woman is with a hooker or a stripper. Mm-hmm. For you, that's it. That's the most you can muster into a relationship with a woman because you're broken. You're a broken person.
Wow.
And you know, and he likes Ann Coulter. He said she's one of his four, I forget how he put it exactly, closest friends or closest conservatives. I forget exactly how he said.
Is he a Christian?
I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't hear the very beginning of the show tonight, but anyway,
yeah.
You've really been a help even to me here recently. And so I I'm real aware of a lot of the more radical conservative Christians, but on some particular topics, even on some of your stories about your past of you know, working real hard as far as, you know, your story about, you know, becoming a Lotus, I think it was Lotus 123 expert, you know, went home and read the book all
right.
the weekend.
Right.
Me as an engineer, you know, I the world can really rob your confidence, and you wouldn't you couldn't believe just some of that story there was hit a button inside of me.
Wow.
That, you know, in a few particular areas, and of course the world and those around you can question when you think you're on the right path, and you probably are, but people can question your motives and they can get you to kind of step back.
Right.
It's really neat to, and I can't remember the other one, but some of your views that you're willing to step out and be willing to take the heat and say what's on your mind, you know, and say a particular position that you can not just shooting from the hip, but can articulate, you know, really well.
Well,
but yet could still take a lot of heat because it's something that not a lot of Christians, no matter on what radio you're talking about, are willing to step out that far. Mm.
Well, it's, Jeff, Christianity, just like conservatism, and Ann Coulter thinking, it seemed like she forgot that people are mostly evil.
Mm-hmm.
So she thinks if only you put the truth out there, then the people will rally behind it and right will prevail. And if that were true, the history of the world would have been different.
And she, I'm sorry, say it again, she believes what?
Well, she thinks that if you expose the liberal lies, then it will all change, and the media will become trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just not reality. If that were true, all the prophets wouldn't have been stoned, and the apostles martyred, and Jesus Christ crucified.
Hey, Bob, my wife just got home. I want to ask her, what show was that we saw Bob Inyard on? What was the topic on politically incorrect? Do you recall? Who was on there?
Whipping Your Children.
Oh, yeah. Now, that was the first time I was on there.
Oh, that was your first time you was on there?
And by all accounts, I think that was the most difficult.
Really?
Because you know, I spanked my stepson 5 swats on the backside and, you know, get thrown in jail by the government for child abuse.
Hmm.
That's a pretty tough accusation to defend against.
Oh, and by the way, if I may interrupt, although I haven't been able to go through the study on divorce and remarriage that you did, because it's some pretty heavy reading.
Right.
And I'm a seminarian graduate.
Well, we have an easy version on video, divorce and remarriage on video.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but what was your point?
Well, you know, I thought it was great, and what's been really cool, there's been a lot of pastors in the last 5, 7, 8 years who've been at least willing to relook at the position, you know, or that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, I'd never been married, but my wife, I married a woman who had been divorced before, and the reason was she was a, you know, child molester and
adulterer. What a tragedy.
And, of course, living where we do with the Mennonites and so on and so forth, some of them take an extremely strong position against.
Right.
But the ignorance is just incredible.
Right. And the video, we're out of time, Jeff, but that video uses so many verses that Christians have never heard of.
Right.
It's a lot of fun to find out what God really did say about divorce and remarriage.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jeff.
God bless.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. So, I thoroughly enjoyed that conversation with Ann Coulter. And obviously we have some disagreements, but we could urge her to move to the right. This is Bob Inyart, remind you to do right and risk the consequences.